The story of the Incarnation. It all starts with a priest, an old man named Zechariah, in the temple in Jerusalem on the greatest day of his life. "Holy God," he prayed, "I have waited my whole life for this moment to be the chosen priest to enter the holiest of places is an honour indeed. Lord God, all Israel waits for you to save us. In the same way, my wife and I have waited all our lives for a child. But it's too late for us now. But it's not too late for Israel, Lord God. Send the chosen one, the Saviour, the Messiah. Praise your name forever." A voice came to Zechariah. "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife will have a child, and you will call him John. He will be strong in the power of God, like Elijah himself in the ancient days." Who are you?" said Zechariah. "I am the angel Gabriel. I stand in God's presence just as I stand in yours. Your son will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many people back to God and prepare the way for the great king who will follow him, the Messiah." Zechariah said, "But how can I be certain of all this? I am an old man and my wife Elizabeth isn't as young as she once was." "It will happen exactly as I have said, Zechariah, but I will give you another sign. You will not be able to say one word until the child is born." And with that, the angel vanished. Zechariah opened his mouth to call after him, but the words just wouldn't come out. Running through the temple, the other priests thought, "What's wrong with Zechariah? Why can't he speak? Something must have happened to him in there. God must have spoken to him." Zechariah made his way home to his wife Elizabeth, who greeted him. "Hello, dear. You're home late. Everything all right at the temple?" Zechariah was silent, went over to a desk and took out a quill. "Writing? Why are you writing? Why won't you speak to me?" said Elizabeth. But when Elizabeth read what her husband had written, her heart filled with joy and her eyes with tears. Their prayers had been heard. God was at work in Israel once more. Which brings us to Nazareth, a town in the hill country of Galilee in the north of Israel. Mary, a young woman, is engaged to be married to Joseph, a local carpenter. Under Roman occupation, Israel is ruled by a puppet king, corrupt and divorced from the people. But Joseph is a descendant of King David in a line that stretches back to Abraham. Here, through the lives of ordinary people, amidst the unremarkable and the mundane, God finally brings his plan to fruition. Something wonderful is about to happen. Mary is busy grinding flour. And hears a voice. "Rejoice, Mary, for God is with you. Blessed are you among women. Of all the women on earth, you have found favour with God. Be at peace and have no fear." Mary jumped up, turned round. "Me? But I don't understand. I mean, I'm no one special. What have I done?" The voice said, "You will have a child, and his name will be Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God himself will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will ruin the descendants of the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." Mary scratched her head. "But how can this be? I'm not pregnant. I'm not even married. I'm still a virgin." The angel, for that's what it was, said, "The Holy Spirit will rest upon you and the power of God will overshadow you. In this way, your child will be called the Son of God." Nothing is impossible to God. Your own relative Elizabeth, childless and past childbearing, is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible, Mary, nothing. Stirred by the angel's words, Mary made her way south to the hills of Judea to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Perhaps she could answer some of Mary's questions. But Elizabeth's greeting took her aback. "Mary, God's blessing is on you above all women on earth, and blessed is the child you will bear. As soon as I heard your voice, the child in my womb leaped for joy." Mary replied, "My spirit and my soul rejoice in God. From this day on, all people will count me happy because of what God has done. He has kept his promise to come to his people's aid." And Mary stayed 3 months with her cousin and then returned home. In time, Elizabeth gave birth to a boy, as the angel had predicted. Oh, the townsfolk were very well pleased with what had happened, especially to an older woman like Elizabeth. "Oh, he's beautiful, Elizabeth. You must be so happy. Of course, you'll name him Zechariah after his father." "Oh, indeed. Indeed," said another. "That's to be expected, and he certainly has his father's eyes." Elizabeth looked around at them. "The child is God's special gift to us, and we are going to call him John. Aren't we, dear? John." Zechariah made his agreement clear, and with that, he began to speak again. Yes, his name is to be John, the first words he'd spoken in months. But while Elizabeth and Zechariah rejoiced in their good fortune, in the town of Nazareth, things were not going so smoothly. One of Jacob's co-workers knew there was something up. "Joseph, why are you still working at this hour? Come on, man. You can't hide in here forever." Joseph turned on him. "I'm not hiding. I have nothing to hide. I just want to get the job finished on time. That's all. Why? What is it people are saying?" He was very nervous. "Though I can work that out for myself, there is no hiding it now. She's getting larger each day," he said to himself. His colleague looked at him. "What can be done, Joseph? You know, it's not as if you're the first to marry in a hurry, after all." Joseph frowned. "True, but I know for a fact the child isn't mine, and it's that knowledge that's killing me." Under Jewish law, an engagement was as binding as marriage, and Joseph could have publicly humiliated Mary, even accusing her of adultery. But Joseph was a good man, so instead he decided to break the contract privately. A quiet divorce seemed best. Only then, after the decision which showed his gentleness, did God let Joseph in on the plan, and an angel came to Joseph in his sleep. "Greetings, Joseph, son of David. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." "But she's already pregnant," said Joseph. "And," said the angel, "she will have a son. You will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It is through the Holy Spirit that Mary has conceived. Do not be afraid to take her as your wife, son of David." Prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before, had said that a virgin would bear a child who would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And as the angel left, Joseph knew these words to be true. And so, he married Mary. Theirs wasn't the first wedding where the bride was obviously pregnant, nor was it the last. But Joseph trusted the words of the angel and turned a deaf ear to the gossip mongers. Joseph took Mary home, but he did not sleep with his wife until after her son was born. They both knew that this child was special. In those days, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus issued a decree, a census was to be taken throughout the empire, each person going to his hometown to be registered. And so Joseph took his young wife, and together they made their way south to the place where Joseph must register, the town where Ruth had married Boaz, the birthplace of King David. The town of Bethlehem. At this time, of course, Israel bristled with anger, ripe for rebellion under Roman rule and oppression. Many waited for the Messiah who would rescue them, restore their fortunes, drive the Romans from the land. It was against this background that Mary and Joseph lived their lives. Arriving in Bethlehem, they looked around for somewhere to stay, but with such a mass movement of people around the census, they were not having much luck. "Please, please, we desperately need a room. We've tried everywhere." An innkeeper said, "Sorry, sir, we're fully booked. Have been for weeks here for the census, are we? Just like everybody else." "Well, you know, don't blame me, blame the Romans. It's their idea." Joseph replied, "Please, my wife, the baby's due any day now. There must be somewhere we could stay." The kindly innkeeper took them round the back to a cave where the animals that he had were bedded down for the night. "It's not much, I know," he said, "but it's warm and dry, and more to the point, it really is all I have left." "We'll take it," said Mary. And Joseph said, "But surely there must be..." "No, no, we'll take it, Joseph. I don't think I can wait much longer. The baby's coming." Oh, said Joseph. "Right, right, we'll take it." 800 years before, the prophet Micah wrote these words: "From you, Bethlehem, small as you are, will come a ruler for Israel, whose family line goes back to ancient times. He will rule with the strength that comes from God, and he will bring peace." Tonight, those words would come true. The greatest king the world would ever see came at last for a people who had cried out for him for centuries. But not in the triumph at the head of a mighty army, banners in the wind, shields held high. The Son of God, the new Adam, the King of Kings and Lords of Lords, came into the world a helpless baby born in a cattle shed. In the hills above the town, a group of shepherds watched over their sheep as their forefathers had done for generations. And as they sat around their campfire that night, the most amazing thing happened. An angel of the Lord appeared, and God's glory shone about them. They were terrified, the shepherds, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid, I bring wonderful news. Today, in the town of David, your Saviour is born, Christ the Messiah. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Then you will know." And suddenly, a great company of the angels appeared, singing praise to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all who please him." The shepherds here were standing in end. "Did you see that? Did you see it? Those were angels. This is unbelievable. Right, come on, let's go this way. What about the sheep? Never mind the sheep. We've got to see this. We've just got to." The shepherds wandered down into the town and eventually came across Mary and Joseph. "You got a baby in here then?" "A baby," said Joseph. "Yes. What's it got to do with you?" Oh, "We were just down from the hills. There were these angels, hundreds of them, and lights and singing. It was incredible." And the shepherds bustled in. Oh, sorry. Did we wake him? I know it sounds odd, miss, but can we have a look at him, please?" And Mary said, "Yeah, it's all right. He's just gone off to sleep, as long as you're quiet." "Oh, he's beautiful. Oh, yeah, but there were angels, hundreds of them, all singing and shining in the darkness. They said there was a baby born in a manger. Look, here he is." They said, "This is the one you've been waiting for. The Christ, our Saviour. I think this is him. I really think it is." But the wonders surrounding the child's birth were far from over. For when they took the child to the temple, as was the Jewish custom, the priest recognised the child. "Praise God," Mary said to Joseph, "We should have sacrificed a lamb, Joseph. He's so special. We should have done something to thank God." Joseph looked at her. "Listen, there's no way we could afford it. A lamb. Two pigeons is all we could afford right now. We should..." An old priest, a man called Simeon, had been told by God that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And as soon as he saw Jesus, he cried aloud, "Now I can die in peace." Joseph looked at him, "I beg your pardon? With my own eyes I have seen salvation, a great light to shine away for the Gentiles and bring glory to Israel, God's own people. This child is a sign from God. Though many people will speak against him, and sorrow like a sharp sword will pierce your own heart," as he looked at Mary. Mary remembered all this, holding the words in her heart. One day, some time later, a group of important travellers from the east arrived as evening fell at the place of Herod, the puppet king. Although weary from their journey, their gaze still held to the skies where the first stars of twilight showed. Into the presence of the king, they brought their greetings. "We have travelled far from the east, seeking the king of the Jews." Herod, sitting on his throne, said, "Aye, and you have found him." "I am Herod, king of Israel." The men from the east looked at one another. One said, "Then I fear that we have made a grave error. We are astronomers. Our life's work, the study of the stars above." Another said, "We witnessed a new star, a thing unheard of in our own time. It leads us here to where the king of the Jews is to be born at this time." And the third said, "Perhaps it means your son. Is your wife expecting?" Herod knew that the prophets had named Bethlehem as the birthplace of the Messiah, so he directed them there. "Now, make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, tell me, won't you, so I may worship him too." Herod had spent all of his reign and had kept power under the Romans by guile and cunning, but the strain had left him deeply paranoid. So he made plans to kill the child in order to preserve his own throne. God had spoken to ordinary people through dreams, through angels, through the scriptures to announce the great event. Now, as the wise men followed the star towards Bethlehem, nature itself spoke of the child's birth. The wise men followed the star until it rested over the place where the child lay sleeping. The king of the Jews, found not in a palace or a castle, but in an ordinary house in the care of ordinary working people. Mary and Joseph were just bathing Jesus in the evening. There was a knock at the door. Joseph sprang up. "Who's that at the door at this hour?" Mary said, "I haven't asked anyone to call. I was about to bathe the baby. See who it is, would you, Joseph?" Joseph went to the door. "Mary, you're never going to believe this." There at the door were the three astronomers. "Greetings, we come looking for the king of the Jews." The wise ones did not hesitate. They came into this plain house bearing great gifts fit for a king: gold, incense, and myrrh. They saw the child they had travelled so far to see, and they worshipped him.